short chapter. Very interesting chapter. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox, or lamb, or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, No soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth, and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even, then he shall be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. It is a short chapter, but again, there is some interest here in that what I've recommended to you before, that commentary in the commentary of the book of Leviticus, or on the book of Leviticus, the Banner of Truth series, written by Andrew Bonar. He has as his title over this chapter, 1 Corinthians 16:31, Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And see, what we see in this chapter, it's very interesting, but what the Lord instructs through His prophet Moses the children of Israel to do is that they're not to simply eat animal flesh at any time. They simply can't go out of their flock and grab an animal and kill it and slay it and eat it. They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to bring that offering as a peace offering before the Lord. Any domesticated animal out of their flock, it says. Notice. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. You say, every time they ate meat? Well, you have to understand that they did not eat meat all that often. That normally, when they had some sort of meat meal, it had to do with some sort of celebration. Right? We see this, for instance, in the parable of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son is seen afar off, and the father turns to his servant and he says, quick, kill the calf. My son has returned. They didn't eat meat all that often anyway. This is not a burdensome thing to the children of Israel. Simply, what this says is, when you're going to celebrate, when you're going to have a meal of meat to in some sort of celebration, bring it before me. Don't cut me out of your celebrations. I'm the one that has granted unto you such a good providence as you would have reason to celebrate. So, come before me and offer it as a peace offering, and then take it to your home and eat. Take it to your home and have the greatest party you have planned. But remember that whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Even in your celebrations, realize that it is I, the Lord, who has brought you thus far. It is I, the Lord, who has given you cause to celebrate. It is I, the Lord, who have increased your herds and your flocks and granted unto you that good thing whereby you said, let us make merry. So the Lord enjoins upon them then that when they will celebrate, when they will have any kind of a party, any kind of a celebration, that they will come to the door of the tabernacle and offer their peace offerings there. Is this not exactly what we're enjoined to do? Should not we also, in all of our benefits, acknowledge the Lord? Now, we don't have a temple to go to. We don't have a sacrifice to be offered. And yet we can, even in the midst of such celebrations, acknowledge the Lord. We can, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. We can give Him the glory, the credit, the recognition, the honor for these signal blessings that we have received. Whatsoever you do, whether it is you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So then the priest is to do what he is supposed to do with it. He's to sprinkle the blood. He's to cut it, drain it. And then he's to sprinkle the blood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And notice also that this is a hedge against idolatry. It's a hedge against idolatry. Now, you know, the theologians are somewhat divided on whether or not, or why the Lord told the children of Israel not to kindle fire on the Sabbath day. Some said, well, you see, that's work. So you should never kindle fire on the Sabbath day. I always thought, when I read it, and I found a few guys that support this opinion, that kindling fire was tantamount to preparing a sacrifice, an offering, and that the Lord was protecting His people from idolatry by telling them not to kindle fire on the Sabbath day. We see the same thing here. If they're killing their animals out in the field or even in the city, without bringing them before the Lord, there is this tendency to pour out the blood in a particular way to make it have some sort of religious significance. And the Lord says, bring it instead to the tabernacle. Bring it instead to the priest. Let him pour out the blood. Let him do that, in order that everything is done properly, that the Lord be glorified. Notice what he says, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they've gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. All right, so then we pick it up in verse 8. and we're talking about burnt offerings and sacrifices and not bringing them to the tabernacle. Now, you have to understand that we are changing the worship in the days of Moses. There is something that is being changed here. There was a time when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those that came after them offered sacrifices in any place. There was no tabernacle. There was no place specifically to come to offer unto the Lord. Well, by the time we reach Leviticus chapter 17, there is. We have instituted the temple worship, the tabernacle worship. And having instituted that worship then, it must hold sway over all other sacrifices. So, it is now unlawful to sacrifice a beast anywhere but before the tabernacle of the Lord. It's unlawful. Many times we see as we read through the history in 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as we read through those books, what we see is that there were people that sacrificed on the high places to idols. Then there were people that sacrificed only in Jerusalem. And then there were others that sacrificed, and this is always said, this wasn't a complete reformation. They sacrificed upon the high places, but only to the Lord. But see, that was always seen as an incomplete reformation. The reformation that was complete that took place was when those places of sacrifice were altogether torn down by the reforming kings. And the people brought their sacrifices only to Jerusalem. Well, that's what's being enjoined here. That these sacrifices be brought only before the Lord at the tabernacle, wherever it resides, because we're still wandering with it, aren't we? All right, so then the final portion is blood. And the Lord says something very interesting that we need to remember. And this is, once again, something that we ought to lament for our brethren that have cut themselves off from the Old Testament. And that is that the Lord says, here's why I've given you blood. I've given you blood so that you know that something must die with the result of sin. That when someone sins and that sin will be expiated, there must be the pouring out of blood. So blood is always to be treated in a holy manner. It doesn't matter if you're hunting. It doesn't matter. If you're out in the field hunting and you shoot with the bow or catch in a trap an animal and you kill that animal, you cannot treat that blood in any way but a holy manner. Because in a very real sense, that animal had to die so that you might live. Right? It has become your sustenance. It has become your food. And so it must die so you can go on living. And so it has some sort of a religious significance in its blood. Now you are to take that and you're to expand upon that proposition to understand the spiritual principle of the expiation of sin by the shedding of blood. But also we see it just normally in the killing of an animal, in the shedding of its blood, that we might partake of it and live. Especially if you're out in the field. Right? You're hungry, there's no grains, you're far away from your flocks, you're far away from your fields, you have no standing grain, no shocks, no ground millet or anything in the store. The only thing you can have to eat is what you shoot. Well, so that animal must die so that you can live. That's why you must treat its blood in a holy manner. So he says, Moses says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that you to dig a hole and you drain the blood into that hole and you bury it. Because that's to speak of the death of that animal so that you might live. And from that you are to reason that because you have sinned against God, you are liable to death, but by the shedding of blood you may live. So that's what he's talking about there when he talks about blood and why it doesn't matter if you're hunting for sustenance or if you're bringing it before the Lord as an offering. The blood must be treated in a special manner. It has expiatory significance in every circumstance. That's what the Lord says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even, but then he shall be clean. If by some emergent necessity you are out in the field and you must eat, you can eat to preserve your life, even if it's something that you found dead. But you must bathe. You must wash. You must become ritually clean after that you've been ritually defiled by eating something that had not been properly bled out, something that had not been properly drained, because you have lost the significance that it died so that you might live. All right? Thus ends the reading then of Leviticus chapter 17.